The Lord taught me a long time ago, you can't steer a parked car, but if you get it rolling, you can steer it. Amen. And so I spent many hours today making notes, and then I spent probably 2 hours trying to better organize the notes. And for me, when I have them like set up in a row and just knock them down, you know, that's just, it's not like that tonight. Amen. This particular subject has grown exponentially, and there's way more to this than I initially understood. And so because of that, amen, I am a bit overwhelmed, to be honest with you. And if it weren't for me knowing the Lord's going to help me tonight, I would be a little uneasy about presenting this to you in a cumulative, cohesive, and comprehensive way. Amen. But the Lord's going to help us. You agreeing with me? Amen. So we see in the book of Genesis, and we'll start in verse number 1, verse 28, that God blessed the man that he created and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish, the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And of course, from this, we've established that the first words that were spoken to a human being was to be fruitful. And we see throughout the word of God that he wants his children and his people to bear fruit and to be fruitful. And he's talking about way, way more here than just having children. He's talking about fruit that comes forth from our lives that makes a difference in this world and glorifies our Father. And Jesus, of course, had much to say about this. He really zeroed in on it in John chapter 15, where he identified himself as the vine and you and me as the branches. And we see through that union with him, abiding in him, we're able to bear much fruit. For without me, he says, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you, abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Throughout the course of our study, we've identified, and this is another key point, that sin separated us from God, and over time, our focus shifted from being fruitful to doing work. And one of the things that we tried to emphasize last Wednesday when we were together is that our ability to be fruitful in the way that God designed us to be and intends for us to be, we must be in right standing and right fellowship with him. It was the blessing upon Adam that enabled him to be fruitful and perform those other mandates that God placed upon him and by translation upon us. But once he sinned and separated himself from God and was living under the curse, his ability to be fruitful in the way God designed him to be fruitful was lost. And so he's now gone from hardwired, created by God, to find joy in life through fruitfulness without the God-given ability to be fruitful. And as is the case with so many things, we quickly found a substitute. And that substitute for being fruitful wound up, you know, being absorbed by doing work. So doing work and being fruitful are not the same thing. Amen. You can do work and not be fruitful. There is effort and labor, if you will, involved in being fruitful. But that difference, again, is defined biblically as the difference between tending and toiling. And we see that God planted the garden, put every good thing in it, and then put Adam in it and told him to tend and to keep it. We see as, and we could have read all these verses, but we see that when Adam sinned, Adam and Eve sinned and lost that blessing in their union with God, became separated from God, they lost their ability to be fruitful in the way that God designed and intended them to be fruitful. And now they're having to make their own way by the sweat of their brow, by the sweat of their face. And now the ground has been cursed, and they're having to till the ground, work the ground, and plant seeds, and they're also having to fight against the thorns and the thistles and the, well, amen, all the stuff that's working against them. Now, one of the things that I want to say over and over and over again is that is not what God desired for Adam and Eve. That is the result of what they chose. And we know that Jesus came as the last Adam. The Bible identifies him in the New Testament as the last Adam. What does that mean? He's the fountainhead of a new race of people. Jesus came as the last Adam to restore back to you and me everything that we lost when the first Adam fell. And that would include our position and restoration once again, set free from the curse, set free from toiling, and we now have the opportunity to return back to being tenders, tending instead of toiling. So sin separated us from God, and over time, our focus shifted from being fruitful to doing work. So much so now that we either think doing work and being fruitful are the same thing, and they're not, okay? Or we think that, you know, doing work is normal. I mean, it's how it's always been, how it's always supposed to be. But again, it is not. And we need to recognize and understand the difference so that we can step back up into what God has for us. Now, I'm getting ahead of myself. This is a new slide here. Doing work will never satisfy our longing for fruitfulness. It is the substitute that mankind has chosen, but it will never satisfy us. There is satisfaction in doing work. Amen. Let's just be honest about it. There is satisfaction in doing work, but doing work will never satisfy us the way fruitfulness and the fruitfulness that God created us for will ultimately satisfy us. Now, there's a lot of things that we've mentioned over and over again. I'm not going to really get back into that tonight. But with this significant shift came another problem, and that is our worth and identity being determined by our work, our doing, instead of our identity being determined by who God says we are, our being. Amen. Now, let me... Thank you, Jesus. I want to get into some things tonight. Let me try to set the stage for where we're headed with all of this. And I don't have time to do all this tonight, but I at least want to mention it because I want you to see how it's connected. Okay. When God created Adam, he put him in the midst of great abundance. And from that position of great abundance, God told him to tend and to keep. Amen. That is God's plan and purpose and intentions for every one of us. To be placed in the midst of great abundance and then tend and keep. And whether you understand it yet or not, it's still true. Whether you've ever had it explained to you yet or not, doesn't change the truth of it. Amen. And that is, as a born-again believer, you have been placed once again in the midst of great abundance and have been blessed by God with the ability to tend and to keep. But we have been indoctrinated by the world that we live in to be a toiler instead of one who tends. We have the mindset of one who toils trying to function as one that God has positioned to tend. Amen. And we have to identify what this toiling mindset looks like. Allow the Holy Spirit to help us in the renewing and the reconditioning of our mind, because a tender, amen, one who is by nature created by God to tend, amen, amen, one who tends that, I wish I'd never said it or thought it, okay, but tender, I'm not talking about a chicken tender, I'm talking about one who tends, okay, but listen, I'm not just talking about what you do, I'm talking about who you be. A tender is being, it's a being word, amen. I now be one who tends. That's my new nature. God's nature is not toil. God's nature is tend. Are you following me? God doesn't toil. He doesn't work by the sweat of his brow. God works. He's always working according to Jesus. He's always up to something good. Amen. He's always working on something to help somebody, to change somebody. And he wants you and me to get right in there with him, be a part of his business, co-labor together with him. But see, again, we're trying to co-labor together with God with the mindset of a toiler. God doesn't toil. God tends. And because you've been born of his seed, you've been born from the seed of a tender, one who tends. And so by nature, you are one who tends. But just like all the other aspects of our new birth, it's one thing to be made righteous. It's another thing to think like and see yourself as one who is righteous and therefore live like someone who's righteous. Same is true with these opposing ways of life. Amen. You can approach life from the perspective of one who toils, or you can approach life from the position and the perspective of one who tends. Amen. But your identity, who you be, I'm not talking about what you do now. I'm talking about who you be in Christ Jesus. You be a tender in Christ Jesus because you're born of his seed, and that's who God is. Are you picking this? Are you following me now? But one who is a tender by nature and by birth, who still sees himself or the world around them as one who toils, will continue to toil in life instead of rising up to that place of tending. And I know for some of us, these are new words, stuff you've never heard before maybe or never had explained to you, at least in the depth that I believe the Holy Spirit wants us to connect with it and understand and have it explained to us. But let me just, and I need to go ahead and say this part, okay? And I've even asked the Lord, and he's confirmed that I'm on the right track. But a whole bunch of this is for this big guy right here, okay? Because this is an area in my life. And we've asked the Lord. Remember on Sundays, we've been asking the Lord, Lord, if there's some area in our understanding and our thinking, and this is one that he has shined a really big light on. And listen, I'm not bragging when I say this. I work a lot. I enjoy working. I enjoy what I do. But it's one thing to do it with the mindset of a tender. It's one thing to do it from the mindset of a toiler. And what the Lord is showing me is that I'm needing to get some victory over a toiling mindset. And so when I say, Lord, are you just teaching this for me? Because this needs to be corrected in my life, or is this for all of us? And he has assured me that it's for all of us. Amen. It's for more than are listening to me right now. And I don't know what that looks like in the future, but the Lord has confirmed that as well. All right. So Adam went from tending to toiling. Amen. And that was not God's best for him. So Jesus came to make us tenders again and to establish us again in tending, which means, and so this is the part, and when I say I just want to give you some idea of where we're going with this. If you're a born again man or a woman, you have been, not will be, you have been reestablished in abundance. I've shared this story before, this example before. It's been a while, but the Lord reminded me of it, in preparation for tonight, working on what we were going to present tonight. And I don't know if it's a true story or not, but it certainly makes the point. And as the story goes, there was a man who needed to get across a wide river. It was wintertime. There was ice on the river, but they had had some warm weather of late, and he could take a long journey and go across a bridge, Or he could just take a shortcut and walk across on the ice. But he wasn't sure if the ice would support him. And so he starts out, you know, he's kind of easing along and, you know, going kind of slow. And he starts to build up a little more confidence the further out he gets. And he's, you know, out somewhere near the middle of the river. And he hears this loud crashing sound behind him. And he is certain that the ice is breaking up behind him. And what he's hearing is those large chunks of ice getting caught in the current of that river that's running under that ice. In his panic, he lies down flat on his belly and spreads out his arms and legs to try to distribute his weight over the largest area possible in hopes of not falling through the ice himself. And as he lays there, that rumbling noise that he's heard behind him is getting closer and closer to him. Certain that he's about to perish, he closes his eyes. And at that moment, a large sleigh pulled by a team of horses went by him doing about 40 miles an hour. I don't know if horses go that fast. I just made that 40 mile an hour part up, okay? So he feels really silly. He stands up and he dusts the snow and off of himself. And he walks on a cross. Now, what's the point? A lot of times we're walking on the Word of God like it's thin ice. And we're not really confident that it will support us. Are you following me? I do not want us to get to heaven one day and discover there all of the resources that are available to us right now. There are tremendous resources available to you right now. And this is where we can go two different directions, because the Bible has a lot to say about the resources that are available to you right now, okay? A toiling mindset blinds us to those resources. Because one of the key factors, and there's others, and I've got some comparisons. We might get to those here in just a moment. But if I could, in just a sentence or two, explain to you the key difference. Someone who lives their life with the mindset of a toiler is someone who feels the pressure to make something happen. I know that sounds kind of simple, but it's someone who feels like if they don't get it done, it's not going to get done. Someone who feels like, man, you know, this is up to me, and I gotta, you know, are you following me? And as that manifests itself in our walk with the Lord and in experiencing and enjoying all that God has already freely given to us, is that we feel like, notice, thank you, Holy Spirit, people who toil feel like, did y'all pick up what I just did right there? Amen, help me, Jesus. Thank you, Father. People who toil have this feeling that they got to make something of themselves. Our world takes great pride in that. Boy, he really made something of himself, didn't he? Toiling is not about you making something happen, you making something of yourself. Father is not interested in anything that you would ever make of yourself. He's interested in you understanding who He made you, all that He's done for you, what He's given to you, and you learning how to operate from that position of abundance, not you trying to make something happen. Beat the bushes. We talked about that already, right? Let me toiling and struggle are synonymous with one another. Remember, we said toiling is painful, sorrowful labor, that toiling is labor with no guarantee of results. Somebody who toils, you know, people say, man, if you work hard, you know, there's a lot of people who work hard that don't ever get ahead. It can be very frustrating. Be very, very frustrating. I share with you back, you know, some of the early days of the cabinet business. I tried to grow too fast. We were struggling. And I would say, I'm doing all I know to do. I'm doing all I know to do. I'm doing all I know to do. And I thought I was being so humble. And the Lord finally pointed out how arrogant I was being. He asked me one question. He said, what makes you think you know all there is to do? But see, a toiling mindset was, if I just work hard enough, long enough, we're going to make this thing a success. Until I realized one day, I could work 24 hours a day for the next 5 years, and I'm not going to get out of the hole that I'm in right now. Are you following me? And that's when the Lord began to show me, you don't know all there is to do, right? And He began to show me some very simple business formulas that Pam and I put into place. And, you know, when you're losing money, how do you tithe on negative income? You know what I'm saying? It's 10% of the increase. Well, there's only decrease. How do you tithe? You know what I'm saying? And so the Lord showed us how to turn it around. And I forget, this was a turning point. I went in, I don't know what day of the week it was. It seemed like it was a Thursday or something. I don't know. I just told everybody to go home. They said, boss man, we got a lot of work. I said, I don't care. Pack everything up, go home. Go be with your family. Go enjoy yourself. And they said, is something wrong? I said, yeah. I said, I'm tired of this business running me. It's time to start running it. Again, you see what I'm saying? So that's a toiling mindset is when it runs you. A tending mindset is when you're running it. It's a big difference. Big difference there. So there's a lot of things in my life that, you know, experiences and things that now looking back, it's easier to see what the Lord was trying to show me and, of course, where we are right now. But watch this. So toiling is synonymous with struggling. Okay? How many of you know, again, God is very busy, but He doesn't struggle with anything. It's not about struggle. Toiling is synonymous with struggle, and Satan is working really hard to try and paint this picture of struggling being synonymous with the Christian life. That if you're going to live the Christian life, it's going to be a struggle. Says who? Jesus said His yoke was easy and His burden was light. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. That sounds like struggling to me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Satan tries to paint this Christian life as a struggle. It's not a struggle. It's a battle. But see, toiling is wrestling with flesh and blood. Bible says we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. If you want to try to win in the Christian life by struggling against flesh and blood, then that's toiling. Toiling will have you struggling with flesh and blood. Tending is taking the weapons of our warfare that are not carnal, but they are mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. And he goes on to explain in 2 Corinthians 10 that the strongholds are thoughts and thought patterns and beliefs, amen, that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. So again, the real battle is not with flesh and blood. And if we can let the Lord help us with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit win the battle in our minds, everything else outwardly becomes tending. It becomes tending. So Jesus has restored us to tending and to fruitfulness. Amen. We simply need a mindset that goes along with it. Now, notice what the devil does. Jesus said you can't serve God and money or mammon. But when we have a toiling-based, work-based mindset, it automatically predisposes us to money. Because if we work hard enough, we can get some money. And if we get a second or even a third job, we can get some more money. So when we have a toiling mindset, and this is one of the reasons why the enemy wants us to do it. It makes it when I say predisposes us, it's not very difficult for the enemy to get us to look to money for our answers when we think toil instead of tend. So again, toiling plays into and reinforces the ideas of earning and deserving. But we're not on an earning and deserving basis with God. We're on a grace basis with God. It's not about what you've earned or you doing something so God will owe you an answer or that you now deserve His help. My friend, God doesn't operate that way. And again, this toiling-based mindset, it predisposes us to the buying and selling economies of this world. God's economies are not buying and selling. God's economies are sowing and reaping. Notice how toiling dovetails with buying and selling. Tending dovetails, meshes, works together with sowing and reaping. Jesus said the farmer plants the seed and goes to bed. He sleeps by night, rises by day. The seed buds, the sprout, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. And notice what he says. He says, and he does not know how. It's a miracle. It's something bigger than him. But watch this. The farmer knows that the burden for that seed to produce results is not on him. He's not making it happen. That's toil. He's tending it. And knows that as he tends it, he's engaging a process that's bigger than him. Are you seeing this? That farmer's like, oh, what am I going to do to make these seed grow? What am I going to do to... Now, obviously, you water, right? And the Bible tells us you plant, you water, but who gives the increase? God gives the increase. Man, you see in the Old Testament, people who planted and watered, no increase. No increase. All right, stay with me now. There's a few things I want. What time is it? We got a few more minutes. Can you hang in here with me for a few more minutes? Are you getting anything out of this? All right. So let me just, again, where we're going with this. The Bible says God gives us richly all things to enjoy. God gives us richly all things to enjoy. We're going to talk some more about that in the days ahead. Let's go here. We'll finish here, okay? Do some comparisons. Toiling operates from a position of limited resources. Tending operates from a position of unlimited resources. Unlimited resources. Think about that for a minute. Unlimited resources. Okay, let's try to get to the nitty-gritty. How about this one? Toiling says, my cup is empty and it's up to me to fill it. Tending says, the Lord has filled my cup and it is full, overflowing, and will never run dry. Toiling says, I must make my own way in life. Tending says, the Lord has already made a way for me and has established me in it. Do you see the different perspective here? How about this one? Toiling says, I must pay my own way in life. Tending says, the Lord has freely given to me all things that pertain to life and godliness. Toiling says, I need a lucky break to succeed. Tending says, the Lord has blessed me with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Toiling operates from a position of lack and struggles to create increase. Tending operates from a position of abundance and joyfully sows into the lives of others. Now, every human being, without exception, desires to have enough provision so as to never have to think about provision. You know why we desire that? It's because that's how we're hardwired. That's how God created us to live. Remember what he said? We looked at it last week in Matthew. He said, is your life not more than your next meal, your next change of clothes? Are these not the things that people who don't know God seek after? My friend, Father God did not go to the trouble of creating a universe, then an earth, then a garden on the earth, and all that he created and put us in it, just so we could fend for ourselves. Just, you follow me? Just so we could spend 80, 90, 100 years on earth working every day to feed our families. Feeding your family is important. Don't misunderstand me here. Okay? It is very important. But we were created for more than 40 hours of hard labor or whatever a week. So every human being desires to have enough provision so as to never have to think about provision. Why is this? It's because we were created in the image and likeness of God. This means we're hardwired for abundance and generosity. Hardwired. Meaning we will never be satisfied with lack and stinginess. We weren't created for lack. We weren't created for stingy. We were created for abundance. We were created for generosity. But notice now, a toiling mindset says, I worked hard for this money. And I'm not about to give it to somebody else. Right? You see the difference here. But someone who tends, they're like, everything belongs to my daddy and I'm his heir and joint heir with Jesus. I've got more than enough. I got all kind of verses on that. We read one from the Amplified on Sunday out of 2 Corinthians 9, where God says that we would have an abundance for every good work. Do you think God was just kidding when he said that? Or do you think God really does desire for you and me to have an abundance for every good work? Not some good works. Every good work. Not some good works. Every good work. Well, he's just exaggerating. God doesn't exaggerate. Exaggerations are just lies in disguise. If he's exaggerating, he's not being honest. Has God really given you all things that pertain to life and godliness? Or did he just make that up? Have we been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus? Or have we just been like barely blessed a little bit to get through another week? See, we exist in the midst of great abundance. But we don't understand that. We can't see that because remember, whatever you look to becomes the lens you look through. And if you look to money, you look through the lens of money, which means you're blinded to every answer that's beyond the reach of money. If money's the lens you look through, you can only see answers that money can buy. And again, limited resources. You look to God, my friend, he paves streets with gold. Abundance. And generosity. All right, let me praise God, this one right here. This is where I was trying to get to right here tonight. I should have started here, but I felt like we needed all that to get to this part, okay? So Jesus says, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. And if you can capture what it is to tend in a single sentence, it's in that last sentence. Freely you have received, freely give. That's the epitome of tending. Freely you've received, freely give. From whom did they freely receive? They freely received from God. To whom did they freely give? All those people who were in need, who were sick, who had leprosy, who were being possessed and oppressed by the demons, even those who were physically dead. Now, this next point joins where we are on Wednesday nights with where we've been all year on Sunday morning for 11 months now. Freely giving to others is how they discovered what had been freely given to them. When he told them to go do these things, I'm sure some of them thought, little old me? But what did they do? He told us to go do it, so let's just go do it. Right? I think, watch this now, I think the fact that they knew they couldn't do it themselves is a huge part in what enabled them to be successful in this assignment. Because a toiling mindset would have shut this down. Why? Because again, a toiling mindset is a huge problem because it incorrectly places the burden or the responsibility on the minister, the one who's trying to give. It incorrectly places the burden on the individual to make something happen. Are you following me now? Keith Moore talks about in the early days of his ministry as a long prayer line. He'd called a bunch of people forward to lay hands on them to minister to them. And he took off his suit coat, kind of being dramatic, started rolling up his sleeves. And the Lord just very quickly stopped him in his tracks. He said, what are you doing? Can't tell you what he was fixing to do. He was fixing to toil. Follow me? Man, I got to get this coat off. I got to get my sleeves rolled up here. I got to get these people healed. Got to make something happen. And if it ain't happening, I'll give them a little push. Maybe they'll fall and everybody will think something's happening. And that'll get them happening. That'll get them excited. And now maybe something really happened. Amen or on me. Freely giving to others is how they discovered what had been freely given to them. Someone who toils will hear these instructions from Jesus much differently than one who tends. A toiling mindset hears these words from Jesus and immediately begins to think how he or she can make this happen. Jesus did not say, go and try to make the sick more comfortable. He didn't say, go and see if there's anything you can do, anything you can do, anything you can do. Are you hearing me? He didn't say, go see if there's anything you can do to improve the desperate situation the lepers are facing. He didn't say, make a casserole for the grieving families of the dead. He didn't say, go and see if you can talk some sense into the demon possessed. What's the pattern here? All of these are things that we can do. All of these are things that we can, through our own efforts, make happen. Jesus didn't tell them to go do what they can make happen. That's toiling. He didn't invite them into a toiling partnership with him. He invited them into a tending partnership with him. And he said, you go heal the sick. You go cleanse the leper. You go raise the dead. You go cast out demons. And this is the key. Freely you have received, freely give. If you get outside of that mindset, you get into toiling, and guess what? Nothing happens. It don't work. Oh, stand with me. Praise God. See, a toiler, one who toils, is hardwired for abundance and generosity and wants to help people who are hurting, lost, and dying, especially if you're a born-again toiler. Sadly, a toiling mindset leads them to believe they must somehow earn from God and deserve the ability to work miracles. Do you remember when Peter, James, and John healed the blind man at the Temple Gate Beautiful? I got the whole story here. I'm not going to read it all. But he says, when they give the explanation, he said, Acts chapter 3, verse 12, I'll give that last verse. It says, so when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness? Godliness there means piety, spiritual devotion, goody two-shoes, okay? As though by our own power and devotion and commitment and hard work, prayer, Bible reading, all those things are important, right? But he says, as though by our own power or godliness, we made this man walk. See, what he wasn't toiling. He was tending. Do you see it? Do you see it? The man who ministered a miracle to my grandfather, called him out of a service. Some of you heard me tell the story. We finally got my Pawpaw Smith to church. An evangelist, revival service. He walked two sections. He walked to my grandfather's aisle. My grandfather was sitting against the wall on the outside of the center aisle. He calls my grandfather forward. My grandfather, I'm like, what in the world is fixing to happen here? I mean, my grandfather's like, me? He goes, yes, you, Dad, you're not. Come here, Dad, you're not. My grandfather's like, me? Like, you know, I'm like, oh, Lord, I hope you don't cuss him. You know what I'm saying? I mean, literally, you know. Punch him, yeah. My grandfather walks out. He said, your shoulder has hurt you for years. Am I right? My grandfather's like, yeah. He was a heavy equipment operator. The bulldozer turned. Instead of it landing on him and crushing him, my grandfather jumped off of it, hurt his shoulder, probably should have went to the doctor, but didn't heal up right, hurt him. Whole house smelled like Bengay, liniment, or, you know, just all the time trying to get the pain relief, okay? I can still see my grandfather had bald on top, a little bit of hair on both sides, neck as thick as his head, glasses, light was shining, sweaty. I can still see that man reaching up and touching my grandfather on the head with two fingers, and it was like somebody hit my grandfather with a ball peen hammer. God healed him. God healed him. And it was sometime later, but he got born again, 65 years old, got born again. Now here's the part, I'm not going to say the name. That man, I'm looking around for children. That man was involved in a threesome with Jim Baker and Jessica Hahn. As gently as I know how to say it. And it's my understanding he died of AIDS. I'm not his judge. See, we think my remnants of a toiling mindset says you got to walk a straight line for God to use you like that, right? You realize these people that went and healed the sick, raised the dead, cast out, they weren't even born again yet. But freely you've received, now freely give. Do you realize, obviously we're in a much better position now that we've been born again, filled with the Spirit. The kingdom that they announced is in you. You're in that kingdom. That kingdom is in you. They announced the kingdom and then did these works. That kingdom's in you now. You've received it. Freely you received the kingdom. Now freely give everything that kingdom will produce in other people's lives. I'm not making excuses for sin. We need to live right. We need to live holy and godly before the Lord. Absolutely. But see again, what happens, and by the way, Donald, I love you. I know you kind of tongue in cheek when he says, you know, if it wasn't for Adam's sin, I wouldn't need forgiveness. But I've done some wrong, but the Lord's protected me too. But see, the flip side of that coin is, because I don't even know what beer tastes like, that don't give me any better leg up on somebody who drank for years. But see, for a toiler, a recovered toiler, a healed toiler, amen. You think you're going to make something happen because you're going to fast and pray. Is fasting and praying good? Yes. But if you think you're going to fast and pray long enough for God to owe you a miracle, you have got another thing coming. That ain't how it works. Freely you've received. Not because I used to hear people, and it turns my stomach to this day, you have no idea the price I've paid for this anointing. I'm like, buddy, you need to get somewhere and just sit down for a minute. Jesus paid the price for our anointing. He paid the price. And he gave it to me freely. Amen. Freely I received. Freely give. I'm not trying to make something happen. Amen. Tending over great abundance. Praise God. Father, you're good to us. We love you. Thank you for helping us. Thank you for opening our eyes. Lord, there's so much here. Lord, there is treasure in this field, and we're gonna keep digging in it and keep finding it, and you're going to keep revealing it to us, Father, as long as your Holy Spirit leads us and shows us and helps us. But, Father, I really do believe this is one of the key things that you're wanting to expose and reveal and correct in our hearts and minds. Father, that we're not trying to become something. We're not trying to make ourselves something. We're wanting to simply be who you've already made us. And we live in the Spirit, so let's walk in the Spirit. The kingdom's in us, and we're in the kingdom, so let's be ambassadors. Let's heal the sick. Let's cleanse the leper. Let's raise the dead. Let's cast out demons. Because the kingdom that we were freely given is the kingdom that will freely produce those results in other people's lives. Father, we love you. We thank you for good things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you so much for being here. Good things coming to you and yours. Amen. Know that you're loved. We'll see you on Sunday, if not before. Amen. Daniel was at work tonight too. I didn't announce that, but Daniel had to work. That's why he wasn't here. So amen. Know that you're loved. Good things.